Thank you so much, Ross. Good evening, everyone. So my name is Michael, and I just want to start off by just saying thank you, Ross, for giving me the opportunity to share. And thank you to you guys as a congregation for receiving me the way you guys have for the past 3 weeks. I really enjoyed my time here. It's been a massive blessing. As much as I came to bless, I'm leaving even more blessed. Just being with you guys, I've learned just so much. And I just want to say thank you for that. And it's been such an amazing time, just even being a part of what God is doing here amongst you guys. And can I just say that just being here for the past 3 weeks, I really sense God wants to come and do something amazing in you guys as a congregation. So, I'm excited just to see what God's going to do. So watch the space. And can I just say, a few weeks ago, myself and Ross were speaking, and we were basically just talking about the church and how the church is built. And something that we landed on was that the church is built on the sacrifice of the saints, and that the church is built when each and every person is giving of themselves as a living sacrifice to God and giving of their time, their talents, their treasures. And as people do that, the church is built. So I even want to encourage you guys, to give yourselves, to give of your time, your treasures, and your talents to this body, because God definitely wants to do something amazing here. So watch this space. I just want to start off with prayer, just to settle my nerves a bit. I'm a bit nervous. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then after this we can jump straight into it. So Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that us as your people can come together and even just be in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation, Lord, and that we can come this evening and look to our left and look to our right and see our brothers and sisters serving you as well, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can say good evening to our fellow brothers and sisters, Lord. And I just thank you for this family, Lord, and for saving us into family, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you love us. I pray, Lord, that you'd come and have your way, even as I share, Father, as I share my story, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's even your story, Lord Jesus. And thank you that you want to write the story for each and every other person here. So, Father, I bless you, and I just thank you for all that you have done and for this evening thus far. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So before I start, I would like to do something with us. So you guys are going to have to work with me. So can everyone just stand up for me quickly, please? Okay, awesome. And then what I would love us to do is to take 2 steps to our left. Okay, awesome. And then 2 steps to our right. Okay, awesome. Thanks. You guys can sit down. So someone once told me that when you preach, you have to make sure that you move people. So I just moved you guys now, so my job is done, so I can leave this place knowing that the Lord loves me and that I've done a good job. Awesome. So I felt led by the Lord to even just start with this quick scripture. So Luke 15, it's a well-known scripture. You guys will probably know the parable of the prodigal son. I would personally change the title of this parable. I'd rather call it the love of the father, and you will see just now why I say so. So let's read it together. So it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because he's safe, because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen. So with this parable, so the reason I would call it the love of the father is because this father in the story reaches out to both the younger brother and the older brother. And there's three things that I would love to point out, even with this parable. The first thing that I would love to point out is that both the sons were lost. Both the sons did not have a relationship with the father. The younger son left and ran away with the father's inheritance and squandered it. The older brother was in the fields working, and you can see by the end of this parable that he told his father, all these years I've been slaving for you, and he complains to the father, and by his complaint we can see that the older brother didn't also have a relationship with the father. So that's the first thing that I want to point out, that both the sons were lost and didn't have a relationship with the father. The second thing that I would love to point out is that both sons wanted the father's inheritance. The younger brother was just bold enough to ask the father. The third thing that I would love to point out is that the father invites both the older brother and the younger brother in his embrace. We see that when the younger brother comes back home, he welcomes him with open arms. And we see at the end of the parable that the father welcomes the older brother into the celebration of the younger son. So we see this picture of this father that loves both of his sons and wants to have relationship with his sons. And then finally, the main point that I would love to point out is that no matter what category you find yourself in, so I very much fall into the older brother category. I was never disobedient. I was a good child. I never did nonsense or got into trouble. I was very much like the older brother, and I was very much obedient to my mom. I did very well in school, and I was a good kid, but yet I didn't know the father. And the point that I want to make with this parable, that whatever category you find yourself in, you might be the younger brother that is reckless, that runs away with the father's inheritance and wastes it on prostitutes, or you might be the older brother that has been obedient. You've done all these things. But no matter what category you find yourself in, you are still lost if you do not have a relationship with the Father. And I even want to start at that point, that I was lost, that I was very much like the older brother. I was going to church, I was doing all these things, but yet I didn't have a relationship with God. And because of that, I was lost. So whatever category you find yourself in, older brother or younger brother, that you are lost if you do not have a relationship with God. In Romans 3:23, it says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Another translation says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the point that I want to make is that everyone has sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. And all of us are in desperate need of a Savior. Amen. Awesome. So my story. So, like I said in the beginning, my name is Michael. Both my parents are originally from the DRC, the Congo. So I have two older siblings, and they were also born in the DRC. My older brother is currently in Cape Town, and my older sister is also in Cape Town. They're also a part of Josh Gen. My older brother is part of the Cerebral congregation, and my sister is part of the Molniton congregation. which is awesome. They're both saved. Hallelujah. And so my mom, she moved a year before I was born to South Africa. So I was actually born here in South Africa. And the reason that she moved down was because there was a lot of drama happening at home in the DRC. And it got very unsafe for her to be there, even with us as well. So to give you guys even just a bit of insight what was happening. So my uncle, my dad's brother, he was a drug dealer in the DRC. And he was one of the big drug dealers there. And what he would do is he would make his drug deals using my mom's phone. And he was doing that for a while. And then eventually the police actually tracked the phone number down and it came back to my mom. And it became this whole drama thing where my mom was being threatened to be killed. And it got very unsafe. And because of all that was going on, my mom decided to come to South Africa and kind of just like start a new life where it would be safe. And us kids would be able to grow in a nice, safe environment, and it would be good for us. So she came to South Africa, and she came by herself with the three of us, and my dad stayed behind in the DRC. Fast forward a few years later, when I was about 3 years old, that's when my dad came to visit us, and he came down to South Africa, and he came with the intention of taking us back to the DRC. But my mom didn't want us to go back. So it was this argument back and forth. And my mom and my dad were fighting continually because he wanted to take us back, but my mom didn't want him to take us back at all. And then when I was about 3 years old, we were staying in Salt River, and my dad came from the DRC, and he came to visit us, but he came with the intention of actually taking us from our mom and to take us back to the DRC. And he came, and then my mom made an agreement with him that if you're going to spend time with the kids, I have to be there with you guys. I have to be there with you guys and take the kids back home. And then he agreed and everything. But this particular day when he came, he didn't want my mom to come with. So there was this whole fight where the three of us were in between them. He was trying to take my older brother. He was trying to take my older sister as well. And my mom had myself in her hands. And it was this whole fight. And eventually the neighbors saw what was happening, and they didn't recognize my dad, and they called the police, and they told the police that these three children have always been with this woman, and all of a sudden this guy comes and he wants to take the children away. And the police came and they sorted everything out, and they basically told my dad that if you're going to spend time with the kids, you're going to have to bring them back at a certain time. And then that whole commotion happened, and then time went by, and then my dad couldn't take us back to the DRC. And my mom kept us here, and afterwards he went back to the DRC, and after he went back to the DRC, he went to France and started a whole completely new life there. So after that, I never saw my dad ever again. And I basically grew up with my two older siblings and my mom. My dad started a new life in the DRC, and yeah, I haven't seen him since this day, and it's been very sore, and it's been difficult not growing up with my dad. But even looking back, I can say that I can definitely see God's hand in us staying in South Africa and being with my mom. Because if I didn't stay, I wouldn't have been here. And God wouldn't have done the amazing things he has done in my life and in my family's life as well. So even looking back, I can see God's hand in everything that he's been doing. So fast forward, so my dad left. He went to the DRC and kind of like grew up with my mom and my two older siblings in Salt River, Cape Town area. And life as kids was great, eh? I enjoyed playing outside with my friends, playing with my older brother. And my mom was a believer at the time, so she kind of like took us to church. So we'd go to church on a Sunday. But at the time, I didn't really understand the whole Christian walk and having a relationship with the Father. Matter of fact, I didn't even want the Father because of this idea and perception that I had of my earthly father. I thought if I had to get a father, and if I had to think of God as a father, he would be this distant person, and he wouldn't want anything to do with me. Actually growing up in church, I never understood anything about Jesus, him saving me, being a sinner, God being my father. I pretty much just grew up like thinking that I have to be a good person, and I have to do all these things and tick the boxes if I have to go to heaven and be saved. So that was kind of my perception of God and church and all this religious thing that we do. That is my understanding of it. And growing up, I very much grew up having an orphan spirit. I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I had identity. I never felt like I had purpose. And I just went about cruising. And when I was about 10 years old, that's when my brother stopped going to my mom's church. And he decided to go with his friend to a Baptist church that was actually located in Cape Town. And after he joined the Baptist church, myself and my sister decided to join him as well. And we joined the Baptist church. And I remember we joined the Baptist church, and I would go to kids' church, and I would learn all these stories about Elijah and Adam and Eve and all these miraculous things that God would do. And I would learn all these things, but I never knew and understood that God loved me and he wanted a relationship with me and he desires a relationship with me and that he calls me his son. I never understood any of that. And then fast forward to that year when I was 10 years old, myself and my brother, we loved playing soccer. So we would take our soccer ball everywhere we went, and we would play soccer whenever we had an opportunity. And in the Baptist church, there was this massive parking lot that we would always play soccer in. And to kind of like give you guys an idea of where the Baptist church was, so the Baptist church was in town, but the street that it was in, it was in the same street as Joshua Generation's City Ball Church at the time. And it was located there by the Jan van Riebeeck High School. And if you got to the Baptist church and you continued to walk straight up, you would get to the Jan van Riebeeck Church. And one day, myself and my brother and his friends were playing soccer in the parking lot. And then one of the guys from the City Ball congregation was walking down, and he saw myself and my brother and his friends playing soccer in the parking lot. And he felt the Holy Spirit stir and prompt him to start a youth with myself and my brother and his friends. And then he was obedient, and then from his obedience, he started Joshua Generation City Ball Youth. And then from the youth, my brother joined, my brother got saved, and eventually my sister joined, she also got saved. And then afterwards, I wanted to also join the youth, but I was 10 years old, I was too young to go to youth. And then I remember there was this one Friday where my sister was going to youth, and I literally begged her. I was like, please, can you please take me to youth? Because I would always hear them coming back home and telling me these cool stories of the icebreakers that they were doing, and the amazing preachers that was happening, the amazing worship that was happening, and all that the Lord was doing, and I felt very much FOMO, and I was like, I want to join you. Please, can you take me with you? And then I remember the one Friday I went, and James was very kind with me. Even though I was young, he allowed me to come to youth. And then I remember the first Friday I was there, it was amazing. I felt loved by the youth leaders. I felt loved by those around me. And that just caused something in me to continue coming. And then I remember I continued coming. And I think it was the third week, they had like a whole prophetic training time happening in the youth. And a team from Sunningdale came through just trying to equip us as youthies to hear God's voice and to prophesy. And I remember they were praying for me. And I can't remember exactly what they were praying for me for. And they laid their hands on me and they started to pray for me. And then all of a sudden I started to cry. And I didn't know why. And they continued to pray for me, and I continued to cry. And then eventually they stopped midway in their prayer, and they like asked me, like, Michael, what's happening? What's wrong? And then I just told them, like, I don't know what's happening. I just feel loved in this moment. I can't explain it, but I just feel loved and accepted in this moment. And in that moment, God poured his love into my heart. And in Romans 5, verse 5, if you can put that scripture up for me. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. No, Romans 5, verse 5. Okay, I'll read it here. What's up? And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And in that moment, when I felt God's love, I believe that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit did was, he came in my life, and he poured the Father's love into my heart. And in that moment, I felt God's love. I felt his acceptance. And it was just so overwhelming that I started to cry. And then in that moment, the youth leaders asked me if I would love to give my life to Jesus. And then I gave my life to Jesus in that moment. And I said the whole prayer, and I gave my life to the Lord. And something that I want to point out is that that moment I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't have any theology on the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand the whole concept of God being my Father, Him desiring a relationship with me. And yet He just came and He poured the Holy Spirit into my life. And I felt His love. And in that moment, I was changed. I can't lie, like I was changed completely. And I remember, after that moment, I was filled with the Spirit, and the things that was once desirable to me, the things that I would do with my unsafe friends, I didn't want to do anymore. Like I remember, we would go about doing things, and I would feel a tugging in my heart, and I would feel the Holy Spirit tell me, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. And looking back, I didn't know and understand that it was the Holy Spirit, but it was the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was keeping me pure, even from the age of 10 till up to now. And I'm super thankful for that God kept me pure. And even though I didn't understand it, He kept me. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And I can truly say from that point onwards, that old Michael passed away. And I was given new life through Jesus. And I was made a new person. And even as my desires changed, my outlook on things changed. And even back to the point of the Holy Spirit keeping me pure, like I could have gotten myself into a lot of trouble and a lot of nonsense, but God was so gracious with me that He kept me pure. And living in an area like Cape Town, not having a father and my mom coming home late, I could have gotten myself into so much trouble. But I'm just so thankful that God kept me pure. And can I just say that He kept me so pure that I haven't kissed a girl before. I haven't had a girlfriend before. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope one day that my first kiss, God willing, is with my wife one day when we get married. And I can truly say that God has been so kind with me, just keeping me pure, keeping me from exposing myself to so many things that could have brought harm and destruction in my life. So like I said, when I got saved, I'd never had a theology of, or I didn't understand the concept of God wanting to be my Father. I didn't understand the concept of eternal life being to know and have relationship with God. Like John 17 verse 3 says, this is eternal life, to know the one and only true God and Jesus Christ whom we have sent. I never understood that. I always thought that eternal life was just getting a free ticket into heaven, and that was it. And that was my understanding of eternal life. I never knew eternal life entailed having a relationship with God and walking with Him. So throughout my high school years, I kind of like cruised. I was like, cool, I have this free ticket into heaven. I'm sorted. And there was not this thing of walking with God and having a relationship with Him. And I remember my Christian life was very dry and stagnant. And because I had an orphan spirit, because I never knew God as my Father, I still went about trying to find my identity in many different things. I tried to find my identity in sports, but that didn't work out because there was always people that was more talented than myself. There was more people that were better than me in soccer. And that kind of that completely crashed. I couldn't find my identity in sports. And then I tried to find my identity in academics as well. And I couldn't find my identity in that as well because there was this one girl that kept on beating me. Her average was always higher than mine. And no matter how much I tried, she was just more smarter than myself. Eventually, I got to the conclusion the girls are more smarter than guys, and I'm not gonna bother. And no matter how much I tried to find my identity in other things, I just couldn't fill the void that I had within me. And I remember there was a point in grade 9 where God spoke to me. And this has been a word that I've gotten most of my life. And I actually got it even yesterday. Someone sent me a voice note randomly, basically just giving me this word that I'm going to tell you guys now. And the word was basically God's affirmation over me, telling me that I'm His son, that He loves me, and that even while I was a sinner, He died for me. And He loves me regardless of what I can do. No matter if I lead worship and it crashes, He still loves me. And He basically just affirmed me and said, I love you. You are my son. And I'm proud of you. And it was But it was kind of like a light bulb moment for me when I was in grade 9, when I got that word of God's affirmation over me, that I'm His son, that He loves me. It shifted something completely in me. And it was kind of like that orphan spirit that I had. God replaced it with a spirit of sonship, a spirit of adoption. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, 14 to 16, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His spirit joys with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." And in that moment, it is kind of like God affirmed me and said that you are my child and that I love you. And then after that, I decided to devote my life completely to the Lord. After that moment, I was like, God, I choose to follow you completely with all of my life. And then I decided to get baptized, and then I got baptized in grade 9. And I remember after I got baptized, people came around me and they started to pray for me, and they gave me the exact same word that I got about God's affirmation that I'm His son and that He loves me. And I was reminded of when Jesus got baptized and when He came out of the water and the Father affirmed over Him and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased." And it was kind of like God did the same thing with me as well when I got baptized. He said, "You are my son. I love you, and I'm well pleased with you." And God took that orphan spirit completely out of me and replaced it with the spirit of adoption. And from there onwards, it's been a journey of me growing as a son in the house, growing in my relationship with God, growing in my understanding that I'm loved by Him, that I'm a son, and that He is my Father, and that He will never let me down, and that He will always be with me, and that He loves me, and that my beginning didn't start when I got out of the womb, that I wasn't a mistake, but my beginning started when He thought of me long before the world began. And I'm reminded of scriptures where it speaks about before the foundation of the world. And it is kind of like God spoke of me and He said, "Your beginning was when I thought of you. And you are not a mistake, but I wanted you. I desired you." And that shifted something completely in my heart. And to kind of like sum up my testimony, it will be from an orphan to a son. I went around cruising, trying to find my identity in many different things. I had a very much an orphan spirit. Never knew who I was. And the moment I came to Jesus, He took that orphan spirit and He replaced it with the spirit of adoption. And the Father loves me. And it's been a journey of just getting to know Him as my Father, getting to discover His beauty, getting to walk with Him and to see the way He sees me, and just to come under His affirmation and what He says about me. And that's my story of how God loved me and how He has brought me into a place of sonship. And I believe that that's each and every one of our portions over here. That's our portion, that's our inheritance. God wants each and every one of us to walk in relationship with Him, where we get to know Him as our Father, where we get to see Him more and more each and every day, where we get to experience Him afresh every morning. And I believe that that's our portion, and that if you are not experiencing that, that God wants you to experience that. He wants you to experience His Father heart. He wants you to experience His love. He wants you to experience what it means to have a Father that loves you and that walks with you. And even as I was praying and even just meditating throughout the week on my story, I felt that the Lord even wants to come and He wants to take us from orphans into sons and daughters. And I've seen over the past few years how people can come into church and they can very much feel alone. They can very much feel not wanted, unloved. But the beautiful thing about the gospel is that Jesus saves us because the Father wants a relationship with us. He desires us. And I believe there's two responses this evening. And the first response is, if you do not know the Lord, if you do not know Jesus, and you'd love to know Him, that there is a way this evening. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus has made a way for us to come back to God and have relationship with Him.
So that's the first response, that if you do not know the Lord and that you would love to know him this evening, we'd love to pray for you and trust with you. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that you will be saved. And the second response that I would love to even throw out is, if you are sitting here and you very much feel like me, an orphan, felt like me, an orphan, you didn't know who you were, you didn't know the Father, I believe God this evening wants to come and even take you from being an orphan to a child of his, where you get to walk with him and experience his love.